Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing fantastic this beautiful night. How about you?
I am good. It's much cooler out. I am consuming all things pumpkin spice, mostly coffee, a little too much coffee.
Is there such a thing as too much coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you already have anxiety and then you drink too much caffeine, well, you can do the math.
I think I probably can. While you consume your pumpkin spice lattes, I am currently enjoying a fine Oktoberfest. It's a Marzen style beer, and it is absolutely fantastic.
I actually should have got my Dogfish Head pumpkin out of the fridge and shared that. Well, you know, drink it with you, but maybe next recording.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I am a fan of the pumpkin beer as well.
I mean, it's hard to go wrong with a pumpkin beer. You know, they here in Tennessee, they sell variety packs of pumpkin beers. So I had a
nice
a pumpkin coffee stout, a pumpkin ale, an imperial pumpkin ale, and what was the last one? I remember what the last one was, but they were all, it just, you always know it's fall when you have a pumpkin beer. Great.
How was the coffee stout, you said?
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin.
How was that?
It was delicious. Like a coffee stout beer, but with like some pumpkin flavoring in there. Oh, so good. So good.
I mean, I don't really ever buy beer except when it's pumpkin season. And I went to like three different places looking for Shipyard. I think it's called Pumpkin Head. And I know they also have like a Smashed Pumpkin, which is like a darker beer a little bit, but it's also like heavier pumpkin flavor and it's also heavier on the alcohol content. But either one of them are really good. It's a brewery from Maine. I don't know if you guys get that down there or not.
The name Shipyard sounds familiar to me. I don't know if I've ever tried it though. I think maybe I just heard about
it. You would like it. I'm sure you'd like it.
Well, that's your mission, to find me some. You can ship it down here, and then we'll drink it on air.
Nice.
Together.
Yeah, I think actually the alcohol rules for Pennsylvania just recently changed, I think, because we couldn't purchase anything online and have it shipped here. But now it just recently changed that we can order stuff. So I almost ordered some hard apple cider from New York State.
In Tennessee, you can buy beer at a gas station, grocery store, liquor store. But when I went to Pennsylvania for the first time, this was, I think, 2010, I think. The only place you could buy beer was two places. You could either go to a bar and buy a six-pack, or you could go to a distributor and buy a 30-pack. Yep. There was nothing in between. Nothing at all. I know it's changed a little bit since then, but yeah, that was a very weird experience
and
for me.
That's so funny that you bring that up, because I remember one of the first times that I was in Tennessee. This was a little bit before I had met you, but I remember rolling up to the gas station and there's guys in the truck and they're getting out and they're like, yeah, we're going to go grab some beer. And I'm like, you're what? We're at a gas station. They're like, yeah, Well, I'm like, what are you doing? What the hell? Like, what? I'm like, this is... And I was completely surprised, because you would think the South would have more restrictive laws on alcohol than the North does.
So I'll tell you a really funny story. Jack Daniel's Distillery is located about an hour from my house. If you go to Jack Daniel's Distillery, you cannot buy a bottle of Jack Daniels there, because it is located in what is called a dry county, which means they do not serve liquor.
What?
In dry counties at all. You can try samples. You can try samples, but you cannot buy a bottle. And if you go on Sunday, you can't buy samples at all. You don't get anything. You just get to do the tour.
That is really strange. That doesn't make any sense at all.
And it's one of the few counties. I mean, I think there's a maybe like 10 counties out of all of Tennessee that are that way. They're what they call dry counties. It's not unheard of in the South. I know Mississippi has some counties like that, Arkansas. I don't know if Georgia does. I've never heard any in Georgia, but I remember Arkansas for sure had one. So what they would do is people would build liquor stores right on the county line, so everybody in the dry county could drive over the county line, get their liquor, and then drive back home again.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And they actually, in Arkansas, they have drive-through liquor stores where you can literally just drive up to the window, say, I want a pint of whatever, and they'll even give you a cup of ice to go with it for the road.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Don't you guys have, like, there's the drive-through slushy places, alcoholic slushies?
Not in my area. I've heard of that. I've never tried it. Now, during COVID, you could go to the Mexican place and get 64-ounce to-go margaritas.
Ooh.
Now, that was kind of fun. That was kind of fun during COVID. But I think they actually quit doing that now. I think they, like, because they kind of relaxed the laws a little bit during COVID. And then now that, you know, COVID's kind of over, that they put the old laws. So you can't do to-go alcoholic drinks anymore. But, man, 2020, Mexican place was the place to be. So now that we've, you know, went down to a tangent on that we're both alcoholics.
Absolutely not. Not even close.
So when we were talking about topics for this week's podcast, you brought up something that I've never heard of before. And going through the research, it fits right in with our theme.
Yeah. Black-eyed kids. Otherwise known as BEKs.
All right. I'm interested to see what you got for it.
So this is one of my favorite subjects, and I never get sick of them because they're so freaking creepy. So I kind of have just some like quick little bullet points on the BEKs, black-eyed kids. Basically, it's said that if you come encounter with these children, quote-unquote children, that you get this irrational feeling of fear and dread, and then you have this feeling and it hits you before you even realize that these children have completely black eyes. And when I say black eyes, no whites, no nothing in their eyes, solid black. And when you do see the black eyes, you get even more scared. And it's said that they usually have plain clothing that is usually outdated. They have pale skin. And when you come encounter with them, they can't come into your space. They can't come into your house. They have to ask permission. So they usually have this like story that doesn't always add up or make sense. They act desperate and say, please let us in your house. We need to call our mother. You know, we're stranded or we're lost. We need to call our mother. We need to use your phone. And then the person at the door will say, okay, I'll use my cell phone. What's your mother's number? Or I'll take your number and go into the house and call them. And they're like, no, we need to come inside. Please let us inside. And it's almost like if you look into like the vampire lore where they need to have permission to come inside. Some people say that they think they're demons. Others say that they're aliens, possibly ghosts. Or they just flat out don't know what they are. Now, there's some stories where people have actually let them in or come in close contact with these children, and they end up with illnesses, sicknesses that doctors cannot figure out what's wrong with them. They'll have bad luck. Just terrible, bad things happen to them after these children were, quote unquote, let into their space. The one story that we did find when we were looking into this was a story from the 1950s, which I had never even heard of, and it takes place in Virginia. And it's one of the earliest known accounts. It concerns a 16-year-old boy known as Harold. According to the story, which was researched and investigated by David Weatherly, the teenager was walking home one afternoon when he came across another boy leaning against a fence, as if waiting for someone. Harold attempted to speak to him, but received no response. He was about to walk off and go on with his journey when the strange boy suddenly stated to Harold, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me up to your house." It was then that Harold noticed the blackness of the boy's eyes. There was no white, just solid black. Then something even stranger and more chilling happened. Harold had begun to contemplate turning and running home as fast as he could when the boy blurted out, "Now, Don't you run away from me. You're going to walk me up to your house. Harold turned and ran away faster than his legs had ever carried him before. He later recalled to his parents that as he did so, he heard a scream behind him, a scream that sounded very similar to that of a bobcat. Interestingly, his parents believed their son's account so much so that his father was said to have grabbed his gun and immediately gone out looking for the menacing boy who had demanded his son take him to their family home. His mother apparently thought her son had an encounter with the devil himself and stated that she would take him to see the local priest.
So, I kind of want to go back to the, you know, where the kids have to ask permission to come in. Like you said, a very common vampire trope, I guess, for a better way of putting it. And that's kind of interesting that it's been, that's kind of part of their spiel. So, you know, maybe they're related. Vampires have always been kind of demon-like or devil-like. And the fact they both have to ask, could they come in, is fairly interesting. The other thing that struck me a little bit about this particular story is, have you ever heard what a bobcat sounds like?
Yeah.
One of the scariest sounds ever.
That is terrifying.
And for our listeners, if you've never heard a bobcat, go on YouTube, search for bobcat screams, and you will just make sure your volume is turned down because it is fairly loud. But yeah, it's pretty terrifying. One of the most unnerving sounds I've ever heard.
That certainly creeped me out while reading that. All right, so now let's fast forward a little bit to 1996, where Brian Bethel, which is the probably most well-known encounter, and looking this up, I believe that he did not post this story online until 1998. And I did stumble across the original message board that he posted this on. And it's very detailed and it's very long, so I'm not going to read it, but I will include the link in the show notes. But I'm just going to go over basically the summed up version of it and some of his quotes. And so it says that, "For the first time, I noticed their eyes. They were coal black, no pupil, no iris." Those words come from an American journalist named Brian Bethel. On January 16, 1998, Bethel posted on an online message board describing his apparent encounter with a pair of creepy children who had solid black eyes. Since then, dozens of people have claimed sightings of similar children, but Bethel's case remains the most famous. Earlier this year, he recounted the experience in an article for the Reporter News. "It happened on a warm night in 1996. Bethel needed to pay his internet bills, so he was writing a check in his car. There was a knock on my driver's side window," Bethel says. "Two young boys, somewhere between 9 to 12 years old and dressed in hooded pullovers, stood outside. I cracked the window a bit, anticipating a spiel for money, but I was immediately gripped by incomprehensible, soul-racking fear. I had no idea why. One of the boys asked Bethel for a ride. They wanted to see a movie, but they had left their money at their mother's house. While Bethel mulled it over, the boys tried to reassure him. It wouldn't take long. They were just two little kids. They didn't have a gun or anything." The reporter looked away for a moment. When Bethel's gaze returned to the children, his mind exploded in a vortex of all-consuming terror. "Both boys stared at me with coal-black eyes, the sort of eyes one sees these days on aliens or bargain basement vampires on late night television. Soulless orbs like two great swaths of starless night." As Bethel rolled up his window, one of the boys banged on the glass saying, "We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay. Let us in." Then the journalist drove away. And then there's some more internet stories that are listed about people having experiences with other black-eyed children.
This story was posted, let's just say it was 1998. You know, that was like, you know, the very, very beginnings of the internet. So I could see how this story would have exploded out because so many people could have accessed this story, yeah, you know, back then. But, you know, once again, we see a lot of the hallmarks of black eyed kids, where the completely black eyes, the feelings of terror, the demand to be let in. Quite the scary time, especially back in 1996. No smartphones, no cameras.
It's one thing when, let's say today, God forbid, we stumble across one. We know what it is, you know, not specifically knowing exactly what it is, but we know that it's a black-eyed children. Back in the day, you never even heard about something like that. That makes it even more scary.
That is true. And, you know, there was another another quote in another article about this story that said that he's not given to flights of fancy, and he certainly didn't make up the story to accelerate his career. In fact, he thinks the opposite happened. His story has undermined his credibility. So, I mean, for somebody to say that, they obviously saw something that really, really unnerved
them. I agree with that, because you're not, there's no fame and money in telling some story like this. It's definitely...
Mm-hmm. So he definitely saw something.
Absolutely.
So Brian's story is one of the earliest stories that we initially found, you know, concerning it came, it was probably posted around 1998. The next one that I found was about black-eyed children in Utah. And the story goes something like this. In a remarkably similar account to Brian Bethel's, an anonymous source describes an encounter on a remote road in Utah. He'd stopped to rest during a long drive when two children, a boy and a girl, seemed to materialize out of the dark. They were wearing strange clothing, and both had old-fashioned bowl haircuts. Now, if you don't know what a bowl haircut is, just imagine this, that your mom or dad has put a bowl on top of your head, shaved everything around the bowl, so the bottom of it and all that. I only know because I had one. It's fine.
It's fine.
I have pictures. But that's what a bowl haircut is, if nobody knows.
Wait, but did your parents actually stick a bowl on your head and cut your hair like that?
So, no. I actually went to my aunt... cut hair for a living. Uh-huh. And I actually went to her and said, hey, I would like a bowl cut, because it was cool back then.
You said those actual words? I would like a bowl cut?
Yes. It was probably 1990-ish? Maybe 1989?
That's hilarious.
The 80s were wild. Even when you were 9 years old, the 80s were wild. Okay. So back to the story after my little bowl cut hair story. They were wearing strange clothing and both had old fashioned bowl haircuts. He immediately thought they were lost and lowered the window to ask if they were okay and in need of help. As he approached the car, the leading child replied, "Yes, please." Then the man noticed the child's eyes, dead black. The child requested he let them in the car and give them a ride into town. But the man felt the most awful fear envelop him. He felt sheer terror and paralysis. His mind screamed at him to get the car window up and drive away, but his body refused to obey. The children appeared amused as he struggled to get his hand and move towards the window mechanism. The boy suddenly smiled and revealed teeth that appeared to be metallic. It broke the spell, and the man managed to get his hand to the window. His terror increased as the kid grabbed at his sleeve. The shock made the man shove the kid back from the car as hard as he could, and a look of surprise crossed the child's face. In the next moment, the man started the car, and the boy somehow, in a split second, moved to the front of the vehicle. The man didn't hesitate. He drove straight at the child. The kid thumped the car angrily, but the man carried on. The kid was hurled out of the way, and when the driver checked his rearview mirror, the child was standing up and brushing himself down. He kept driving. Yeah. Now just imagine that on a rural road in the middle of Utah.
No.
Just no.
So I've never heard that one, and I've never heard anything about metallic teeth. What in the actual hell is that?
You know, to me, it almost strikes the chord that they're possibly alien.
Yeah.
Right? So... You know, instead of like a demon or a ghost or something like that, like it kind of strikes that chord with me.
The other thing that I did forget to mention, that it always seems that there's usually more than one, and there's usually like a spokesperson for the group. There's always one that seems to be like the older child And they're the one that's like the front person. They come up and they do most of the speaking. The other person's just kind of in the back like, yeah, let us in.
Just out of curiosity, out of all the stories you heard, has there ever been a group of them, like four or five, or is it always two?
I've only heard of like two or three. I've never heard stories that's been more than that.
That's kind of interesting too, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, a lot of people would say like two kids are not scary, three kids are not scary. But if you had a group of them, well, then all suddenly, like, you know, maybe it's a little more something to think about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think what I've learned from this is if I'm on a rural road in any particular part of the country, don't stop because it could be a woman in white. We have black-eyed kids. I'm just not stopping. I'm not traveling no more. That's all there is to it.
Be a hermit, live at home.
Yep. I'm just going to stay in my apartment in Tennessee and just be, it'll be fine.
I'll ship you pumpkin beer every so yes. often. You'll be good to go.
Just like once a year, ship me some pumpkin beer and we're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, with that particular story, I did find one other one that was a little out of the ordinary for this particular topic. Only because, you know, the whole topic is black-eyed children. But I did find a story about black-eyed grandparents. And I'd kind of like to share that one because it's, like I said, kind of unique. A bit of scene setting. In 96-97, I lived in a fairly old terraced house with a cemetery at the end of the road. Cliche, I know, but it's an important detail. Nothing remarkable about the house or area. It was just convenient for college. Anyways, I was up late one night on my PC in my bedroom, which looked out into the street. It was about 2 or 3 a.m. For whatever reason, probably to give my eyes a rest, I wandered over to the window and looked down at the road in the direction of the cemetery, although it was too far down the street for me to see. And I saw three people walking slowly down the road. I could see that they were quite old and appeared to be dressed in funeral clothes, given the hour was weird. There were two women and one man. I'd put their ages about 80, and the woman in the middle was being steadied, guided by the other woman and the man as they came closer. I got the impression that she was upset. My first thought was that given their age, she had recently buried her husband, and grief had caused her to behave slightly irrational, causing her to try to be out near the cemetery at that hour, and that the other two were friends or relatives trying to look after her and get her home. Anyways, it was all interesting enough for me to carry on watching as they got closer to the house. Just outside the front of the house was a street lamp. I watched them as they made it their way past, but when they got to the lamppost, they all stopped, and the upset woman in the middle looked up at me and grinned. This was when things got weird. If I see three 80-year-olds walking at 2:30 in the morning, it's going to be a little weird anyways. Continuing on. The grin became a sort of grimace, and if there was any color in her face to start with, it was now dead white. At that point, I realized I was staring right into her eyes, but her eyes were pitch black. Time sort of dilated. If you ever crash a car, the final split second before you make impact seems to drag out as you process more information than normal in the time frame. It was that sort of thing. I'm sure we only made eye contact for a second, but it felt like several minutes as my peripheral vision faded and I felt like all I could see was these two black holes in her face drawing me in. Although the distance between us didn't change, she somehow felt like she was coming closer and I was kind of aware, although I couldn't honestly say it, I could see them at this point, that the two people with her were just continuing to look down the road as if frozen but waiting for this woman to finish whatever she was doing. I was suddenly hit with this intense feeling of dread and panic, so I threw myself on the floor. As soon as I broke in her gaze, I felt pretty stupid that this upset old woman who clearly needed help had spooked me so badly, so I looked out the window again and there was no sign of them. It was a longish straight road and the house was towards the middle, so Linford Christie would have had trouble getting out of line of sight in the time I looked away, let alone three octogenarians, which basically means 80-year-olds.
What a way to put that.
I kind of wish I've lived a little more interesting of a life because, you know, this guy saw three 80-year-olds and he didn't really think a whole lot about it walking down the street at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I would have presumed during the middle of the week. Let's just say it was Wednesday. So Wednesday night, you stay up late. It's 2 a.m. You look out the window. You see three old people walking down the middle of the street from a cemetery. I just feel like that would be weird enough without all the other stuff behind it.
I mean, my first thought is they're ghosts. Because how many times have you heard the stories where the ghost was either faceless or their face was blacked out or their eye sockets, like they had like just black eye sockets, no eyes, no nothing.
That's kind of an interesting thought, considering that it was, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't a whole lot of light except for the street light. Maybe he did see a ghost.
3 a.m., the witching hour.
Very true. That's actually a pretty good point, yeah. So maybe this is not a case of black-eyed grandparents, more that it's just a ghost story that's very similar to black-eyed kid.
Either way, it's interesting.
Yeah, 100% it is. Like, you know, stories like that always make me, in my apartment, you know, like, do I need to look out the window at 2 o'clock in the morning? What am I going to see out there?
Maybe you shouldn't.
Or maybe I should.
Maybe. That's a better point.
Yes. Now, to be fair, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm almost always sleeping, so.
Yeah.
Just too boring.
Me too. All right. So I have a story here of a woman who actually let these children in. The story goes that in January 2016, a report appeared on the internet said to have come from an unnamed woman who had not only encountered black-eyed children, but made the mistake of allowing them into her home. According to the report, it was a decision that she believed would have lasting implications. The woman claimed to live in Vermont and told of how, in the middle of a blizzard, one evening, around a year earlier, a loud knocking sounded at the front door of the house she shared with her husband. Thinking that someone had been in a car accident due to the weather, the woman went to answer the door. A quick look out the window revealed footprints in the snow leading to the house, but there was no sign of a vehicle on the road. Now a little unnerved, she awoke her husband as the banging on the door continued. He went to answer it. Two children were stood on the doorstep, a boy and a girl, looking to be around 8 years old. The woman recalled that they were not dressed for cold conditions outside and that she felt instantly unnerved by their presence. Despite her probable better judgment, she invited the two children inside. She ushered the two children into the living room. She noticed how her cats appeared to be afraid of the visitors, with one in particular hissing at them as they passed. She offered to make the pair a cup of cocoa to warm them up and recalled that whatever she asked them, their reply was always the same, "Our parents will be here soon." She came into the room with two cups of cocoa as they looked up at her to take the drinks. She noticed with horror that where her eyes should have been were two jet black balls like giant pupils. As she stared at them, they suddenly asked if they could use the bathroom. She tried to remain calm and directed them to it. A moment later, her husband's nose began to bleed and the power suddenly went out. As the woman attempted to make her way to get her husband a tissue, she noticed both children standing at the front hall, motionless, staring at her. They suddenly broke the silence and said, "Our parents are here." Before opening the front door and making their way back out into the night, even stranger, as she went to close the door, she saw the children getting into a black car as two tall men, both dressed in suits, stood next to it. They too entered the vehicle and drove away. In the months following, the woman's husband was diagnosed with an aggressive form of skin cancer, and although she didn't go into specifics, stated that she also suddenly began to suffer from regular nosebleeds and described herself as being in the worst condition of her life. She is convinced that both her husband and her husband's ill health is connected to that snowy night when they allowed the two black-eyed children into their home.
Ooh, boy. The thing that strikes me as kind of interesting is how whatever these black-eyed kids are using the children's form as a way to manipulate their way into being let in. Because, you know, most adults would just you know, they're going to do whatever they can to help kids out, right? You know, like, hey, oh, you've been in an accident. Come on inside. Oh, you're lost. Come on inside. Oh, you need whatever. I think that's a fairly interesting point. The guys at the end, like where they're putting the kids in the car, is that a fairly common occurrence with black-eyed kid children stories?
I have not heard that, but it sounds to me like those guys that were putting them in the car were men in black, which is a whole nother phenomenon that you could dig down the rabbit hole and go into, which there's theories that the men in black are like aliens, possibly, because they too also, that's weird. I just had a weird connection that they also say weird things that are out of context or don't make sense. Just like the black-eyed children do.
If you want to put it in another perspective, like if you didn't know the English language, if it wasn't your first language, sometimes when you translate in your head, it comes out sounding kind of weird, right? So like it maybe if they were aliens, for instance, maybe they don't know English as well as a native speaker would know English. And so what they say is a little awkward.
Right, exactly.
That is kind of interesting. I'll be honest, when you said Men in Black, all I could think of was Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith. That's the first thing. I thought you were going to say something about that. I was like, where is this going?
No, but that's a whole thing that we could dig into some other time.
Yeah, I would kind of like to do that one. But this story here, I mean, the only other thing that kind of comes off, and I'm going to rely on your knowledge once again, is there are a lot of stories where people have physical ailments after interacting with these BEKs.
So the one that I heard of was, this was, I believe, several years ago. This woman went into a store and she left her kid in the car. And I mean, this was like back in the day when, you know, nobody really thought anything of doing that. So she comes out, and I guess there's this kid in the car with her son, and he was a black-eyed children. And it ended up that he got really sick, and they took him from doctor to doctor, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And I don't remember all the details, but that's a pretty popular story.
That is a fairly interesting, that there's actually a physical ailment that is associated with these. You know, usually with physical ailments, you know, there's something that causes them. You know, like where I'm going with this is like the guy in the story had an aggressive form of cancer, which could be caused by radiation. You know, radiation's one of the, you know, bigger cancer causers, you know, and that kind of leads back to the whole alien thing. You know, what if the kids, if the kids were, you know, actually aliens? And that's why, although to be fair, like if the guy had a problem, the woman probably would too, because they would have both been exposed to the same amount.
She was the one that had more interaction with them. So I find it interesting that her husband had, well, she was sick too. So
I mean, it could be one of those things too, where, you know, he could have already been in a little bit worse health. He might already had something going on, right? Yeah, I mean, there's no details there, right?
Good point.
So, well, this was a very eye-opening conversation tonight.
Some creepy stuff
It's, you know, it just really goes to show that I think that there's a lot of strange things out in the world.
There definitely is, for sure. Okay, everybody, so thank you for listening, and that about wraps this episode up, and you know where to find us, midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. You can find us on Instagram, shoot us a message, send us your ghost stories.
Send your picture of bowl cuts, please.
Oh my god, that would be really funny. Yeah, I'll repost them on the stories on Instagram.
It was nice chatting with you tonight, Laura. It's a pleasure as always, and you have a good evening. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
We're so sorry, skeletons, you're so misunderstood. You only want to socialize,
but I don't think we should.
A spooky, scary skeleton shouts startling, shrilly screams. They'll sneak under sarcophagus and just won't leave you be.
Just